And now, a burst.co.uk production, Silly Things Done Well.
Hello, and welcome to Silly Things Done Well. Good evening, good afternoon, should I say.
You should.
In the studio with me is Mr. Tom Harrison.
Hello.
Hello, Tom. What can the listener expect from Silly Things Done Well, Tom?
The listener can expect a veritable potpourri of different things, including wacky phone-ins, board games, commentary on stuff that doesn't need commentary.
Yeah.
Little bits and pieces, little objet d'art, little witty bon mots, and the like. The first of which will be a wacky phone-in from the mind of Ricky Stevenson. So we've got that to look forward to.
Well, hello there, and welcome to this week's edition of What Colour Is the Object I'm Holding? This week, it's a stone, so call in and tell us what you think it is. Can I go straight to the phones then? Hello?
Hi, is it, orange?
Orange, good guess. I'm afraid it's not orange. Next caller, please.
Hello, is it cream?
Oh, no. Next.
Hello there. Is it, you know, that blue when it's sort of a bit green but it's also blue? Is it that? Is it blue, green, blue?
No. Next caller.
Hi, is it eyebrow brown?
Eyebrow brown. No, it's not. Next caller.
Is it, quiet night black?
Oh, good guess, but I'm afraid it's not. Next caller, please.
Yes, hello there. Is it, you know, Van Gogh's Starry, Starry Night? In the bottom left quadrant, there is a building in it, a sort of a beigey sort of brown. Is it that sort of beigey brown?
It's not that, I'm afraid. Can I get the next caller?
Hi. Is it Edvard Munch's selfie did with paint? The sky?
Sorry?
The colours in the sky? Orange.
Orange? It's not orange. Next caller, please.
Yeah, you're right. Right, you know chrome? That, like, reflects stuff, doesn't it?
It does.
And, so is it a bit like that? Like chrome? But obviously, it'd be the colour of the studio that you're in, because it's reflecting it, isn't it? Is it that?
It's not that, I'm afraid. Next caller.
Alright, mate. Yeah, I was just wondering, is it like, you know when Steven Gerrard scored that goal in the 1990 FA Cup final? Like, when he banged that goal in the bottom left corner? Is it the colour of that?
That's not a colour.
But, you know, that red?
Red? No, I'm afraid not. Join us next time for What Colour Is the Object I'm Holding?
Welcome back. Just having a little game of Kaplunk, aren't we?
We are having an in-studio game here of the popular children's game, Kaplunk.
I need to explain to you about the yellow ball, don't I?
You need to explain.
So we can either play normal Kaplunk, which is just when the balls fall.
Right.
Like, you know, you want the least balls at the end.
Right.
But if you're playing the yellow ball rule, the person who makes the yellow ball fall takes 5 balls off their overall score.
Whoa.
Right?
Whoa.
So that is a game changer.
Tom, I'm worried that some people listening won't know what Kaplunk is.
Really?
And you've just rattled off a whole load of instructions for a game that people don't know what it's about. They don't know what's going on. Why don't you explain what it is?
It's that one with the sticks and you stop the balls falling.
Right, so basically, it's a load of sticks. There's a load of balls on them. You pull out a stick, and the aim is to not let the balls drop. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to go? Do you want to have a first go?
Well, I have.
Oh, you've gone? All right. Well, I'm going to go.
It's your game.
I'm going to go for this green stick here.
Yeah.
Just pull that one out.
That's
me. Yeah. Tom, how can people get involved with What Colour Is My Stone?
People can get involved with What Colour Is My Stone by tweeting in with the hashtag What Colour Stone? No, there's no spaces in that. It's just What Colour Stone.
Yeah, but there's no spaces on hashtags ever. So,
no.
No,
there isn't. But I'm just saying, in case people don't know that.
Tom just pulled out a blue one there. They can also get involved in the Facebook, Tom.
Can they?
Yeah.
Explain to me how they can do that.
They can log on to the Burst page.
Right.
And they can suggest what colour they think the stone is.
That's good, isn't it?
So that's brilliant, isn't it?
That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is there any other way that they can get involved?
Email,
right. What could it, where would
not
they
sure,
email
I'm not sure what
to?
The address is, though.
They'd email to Atburst Radio. Yeah.
No, that's Twitter.
Bournemouth.ac.uk.
That's how they get... That's threefold ways of getting involved there.
Yeah.
Tom,
three. That's almost too many, isn't it?
How's your game of Kaplunk going?
I've taken out three. How many have you
right,
taken
I'm going to take out one more.
And then we'll play the next thing.
Oh, no balls dropped there. So we're doing well. We're going to move now from... we're going to move from absurd commentary of one game, which is us here playing Kaplunk, to a man who goes by the name of Rob Tinlow, and he is introducing the annual tea-making competition in Madrid.
Hello, or shall I say bonjour, because you join me, Rob Tinlow, here in Madrid for the final of the 25th annual tea-making championships. The four finalists have taken their positions in front of their respective workstations, and I have to say that the atmosphere is as electric as the Homecraft AA5771 cordless kettles our contestants will be using in today's competition. Obviously, with this being an important anniversary for the championship, we're seeing the largest gathering of enthusiasts we've ever seen at the event. At last count, the audience in here had broken into double figures, so it's pretty crowded in here, as you can imagine. A quick rundown of the four finalists before boiling begins. First up is Marky Taylor, a real veteran of the sport. He first came onto the scene around 12 years ago and quickly gained legendary status as a great tea maker. He struggled to live up to form in the last couple of years, but assures me that this year he's determined to show that he's far from past it. At workstation 2, in stark contrast, is Matt Badbury. Very much the new kid on the block, Matt, the beverage boy Badbury, has had a varied career behind him, having previously specialised in coffee making, and has also tried his hand at both Horlicks and Bovril. Needless to say, at his first tea making final, Matt is keen to show that he's not just a jack of all trades, but that he has a bright future in tea making. In workstation 3, just giving a wave to the audience there, is Keith Ackerley. Generally considered to be very much the joker of the pack, Ackers often comments that there's only one mug in tea making, and that's the man who uses artificial sweeteners instead of sugar. A wickedly funny man with a lightning fast wit. It would be a mistake, however, to underestimate his skills with a strainer. And with three silver medals under his belt, you can bet that he'll be doing his damnedest to bag the gold this year. He actually told me to say to the rest of the contestants that they should hit him with their best pot. A little teapot pun there. Funny, funny man. Lastly, at workstation 4, we have Rocky the Dragon Horace. Rocky's well known for being a maverick of the sport, and as far as I know, he's the only practitioner left who subscribes to a pre-lactarian school of thought. Always one to watch, Rocky is against the odds this year, but he's never been one to bow to the will of the statistics. So, there are our four finalists. Join me soon when we'll be finding out who will win this year's annual tea-making championships.
Tom, I don't know about you, but I am on tenterhooks.
Yeah, I think
with a capital T.
With a capital 10, yeah.
Cup of tea.
Yeah, cup of tea. Uh-huh.
Is that what I did there?
Yeah, I do.
We now move on to a light-hearted piece about a pair of cousins who just can't seem to get along.
It's been almost 4 years since my aunt, lovely as she is, gave birth to the demon spawn I call my cousin. 4 years of traumatisation. I remember when he was only a few months old, he pulled out my first nose ring. I made a powerful enemy that day. I thought the worst was during what we jokingly call the terrible twos, where he devised his first tripwire, stringing a skipping rope between a doorframe and a constructed Lego tower of his own devising. And now I see him planning. What is he up to? I see him sitting quietly in the middle of his floor. My father recently bought him his first comic book. He's taken great interest not in Spider-Man or Batman or the Vigilantes, but in the scientists. Dr. Doom, Lex Luthor, Reed Richards. I fear his joy in the concept of fusing magic and science. I'm not a strong man, nor a smart man. What I am is a victim of life and of circumstance. And I'm sure in the passage of time when my four-year-old cousin builds his first weather machine that I will be his first victim. And until then, all I can do is put his toys on high shelves and ponder the question, what is my four-year-old cousin planning?
Oh, that was a bit... That was unsettling, wasn't it?
Yeah, very, very
a little
strange.
Bit creepy. Yeah. Quick plunk update, though.
Oh, yeah.
We're looking at two balls each at the moment. So
yeah.
So that's good.
One of mine, the annoying thing is one of mine fell when I was trying to move one ball. I didn't even touch any sticks.
That is irritating, yeah. But we now go live to Ollie in the other studio with a very special guest.
Thank you very much, Tom. I'm in the studio now with Tyler T.
Tyler T,
host of Shed FM, correct?
Yeah, basically, set in Corrymal. You've probably all been to Corrymal because it's like the centre of the universe, isn't it? Corrymal Massive! And it's just a little radio station that we do there with Jim Kettle, who's a bit of a loser, but he's not here today, but How are things with you, Ollie?
They're very good. They're very good. You're very energetic today.
Well, I am, actually. Yeah.
What are you here to introduce?
I'm here to... Right, basically, we got an amateur dramatic society inside Corrymal, and it's, like, massive. And, they do, like, some audio dramas and stuff like that. So we got one here, and it's, like, really powerful and stuff. So, that's what I'm here to introduce.
Excellent. Can you tell us anything about the piece? Can you tell us about the players? Is there anything we should know going in?
Well, basically, right... it was written at a time where it was incredibly prevalent within the community that there might be some sort of wind farm. So it's full of that sort of angst. I think it's like some sort of State of the Nation play, actually, really. It's full of, like, it captures a zeitgeist in our sort of... and it's a Gesamtkunstwerk as well. It's quite the most amazing drama, really. Basically, it was a group effort, and I hope you enjoy it, really.
Well, thank you very much, Tyler T. We go now to the legend of Blasted Crotch.
Yeah.
We begin this story on a sunny spring day, and Samantha and Gretchen are walking along the hilltop, overlooking the beautiful valley of the River Corrym, up from the dike's bottom to the humps of the Blasted Crotch.
Oh, Gretchen, isn't the landscape beautiful? I'm oh so very, very happy I live in such a perfect rural idyll. Oh,
I know, and to look across the river to see the children playing and the lambs gamboling across the fields.
Oh, I do love the lambs, for I'm a perfect child like you and I have no need for the outside world.
The outside world is horrible and yucky.
Yucky and horrible. Yuck!
But wait, what is that perfect picnic spot in front of us?
Why, that is the Blasted Crotch!
The wonderful Blasted Crotch! Well, then we must go there and play doctors and nurses and vicars.
Yes, let's!
But what's this? The air has suddenly got frightful cold.
Frightfully frightful, but I have brandy.
Not so fast, little girls.
Oh, but who is this evil-looking, faceless chappy?
Faceless, warty, but still faceless chappy of evilness.
I am a council worker. I work for the council, which is very evil, and almost gave you another bus route last year.
Oh, no!
And it is my job to tell you you are no longer allowed up here. Nor never, for we are building a wind farm here.
A wind farm?
Yuck!
Kilometres and kilometres of white evil steel to give electric power to people who isn't you. Stealing your wind, I am. I'm stealing it!
No!
And guess where I'm gonna plant this sign to grant us permission to build?
Not Blasted Crotch!
Beware the legend of Blasted Crotch.
What? What was that?
What was what, faceless evil man?
I am the ghost of Viscount Corrymal, the most beautiful and theatrical man who ever walked these green, green fields.
Not Viscount Corrymal, the most beautiful and theatrical man who ever walked these green, green fields.
Yes, behold, below in the green, green fields, past where the dog is squatting a poo, and witness the story of Corrymal Fields.
Corrymal Amateur Dramatic Society production of HMS Pinafore is going to be a perfect success. Bravo! Especially proud of you saying that this musical hasn't even been written yet. Hello?
Viscount Coromo, Viscount Coromo.
What is it, small messenger child?
The Roundheads are coming, Your Cavalier Grace. They want to kill the monarch and be a little over-religious and destroy the theatre because it's an English civil war.
Destroy the theatre? This is dreadful and they must be stopped. Where are they marching to?
They are almost here in the village, Your Royalist Grace, and now I am dead.
No! Don't die on me. What? Why do they always die on me? Army?
Yes, sir!
Put away your Gilbert, your Sullivans, your HMSs and your pinafores. Today we arm for war!
Yay!
No, don't kill me. Oh, no. No, you're getting nearer.
I'm a warty roundhead.
You are? You're a warty roundhead?
I'm here to close the fears.
No! Not the theatre.
I'm here to make sure the production of HMS Pinafore, reasonably priced at £15 a ticket, will not go on sale at the Coronmo Playhouse between the 4th and the 12th of June 2014.
You wicked, wicked man. The show must go on.
The show must go on?
The show must go on.
No. Die.
And so here we stand, ready to charge from blasted Quatch to the fields below to rid us of the dreary oppression of wartiness. For Corran Mao, for the Queen, and for quality amateur theatre.
Viscount Corran Mao, Viscount Corran Mao.
I am dying, Vicar. Dying. Vicar.
Yes, darling. Oh, you've been hit by the cannon shot right to...
Blasted Quatch must be saved. Consecrate this ground for me where I do lie. Make this a sanctuary for the memory of theatre. Untouched, untarnished, unwrought. And if any of ye who do try and build here, try to build here, may you, ye thou, be banished and warty for eternity. People of Corran Mao, rise up and defend your houses from the council and the turbines. Rise up! Rise up!
We will! We will!
Rise up! For Corran Mao!
Oh no! I've seen the error of my ways and shall had to drown myself in the River Corran.
Hooray!
Shall we have our picnic as we watch him float away like a floundering poo stick?
Yes, let's.
The legend of Blasted Crotch there. Thank you very much to the town of Corran Mao, to the Corran Mao players for performing such an, you know, emotive piece there. Thank you to Mr. Tyler T for joining us in the studio.
Yeah. Quite tea heavy this
show. Very tea heavy this show. And also to Shed FM, a great station.
That's true.
That is true.
Big development.
Sorry, can I just say, Tom,
yeah,
before you say that, if you would like to hear more things like that,
yeah,
which I know you do.
Yeah, I do.
How would you go about doing it?
Well, I don't know. Tell
you
me.
Don't know. I will tell you. You log on to burst.co.uk and you go to the archive section and there's hours of fun on there.
Hours of fun.
Absolutely days of it.
Talking fun, big developments on the Kaplunk field.
Yeah.
Lots more balls have fallen. I think you've got one more ball.
One more. So that means I'm on three.
I had four more balls.
Yeah, you had a nightmare go.
Well, did I though? Because one of them was the golden ball.
Oh, I don't get this.
Which takes off five.
I don't get the golden ball.
So I'm back
thing.
Down to zero. So it's 3-0.
But the aim of the game is to not drop the balls.
No, apart from the golden ball.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Well, I told you that.
I mean,
anyway,
you know,
it's time to go back to Ricky Stevenson's phone-in concerning the colour of his stone. Let's hope he has more luck this time.
Hello there, and welcome back to What Colour is the Object I'm Holding? We got no right answers in the first half. Let's see if anyone else knows what the colour is. Let's go straight to the phones. What do you think it is?
Is it the colour of the sky in France? Quand on mange le camembert?
It's not that, I'm afraid. Next caller.
Hi, you know when you look into the eyes of the man in the scream and he looks back at you?
Yes.
And you enter this kind of infinite void of infinite meaning and also lack of meaning? Mm. Is it that?
No. Next caller.
You know when you're crab fishing?
Yeah.
Is it crab shell blue? Oh, no, wait. Oh, no, wait. Crab shell orange. Yeah. Is it crab shell orange?
Crab shell orange. No. Next caller, please.
Sartre, he spoke about the feeling of being on a cliff and looking over and the nausea that you have when you realise that you could end your own life.
Yeah.
And that you could just jump off and that freedom and how that's nauseous.
Right.
The cliff he was talking about was kind of a mottled grey and I'm hoping that's the colour.
Oh, no, it's not that. Next caller, please.
Right, Dali. The Spanish surrealist painter did a painting called Dream Caused by the Flight of a Bee around a pomegranate a second right. before waking. And it kind of depicts, so in the background there's this huge pomegranate and there's kind of a fish jumping out of that and then a tiger jumping out of that's mouth, a second tiger jumping out of that's mouth and then a kind of rifle with a bayonet end coming out of that's mouth. And it's stabbing this woman, and it's supposed to represent a bee stinging a woman just right, before she wakes up, and obviously the two tigers are the separate segments of the bee.
Yeah, but what colour do you think it is?
And there's a... Oh, nope. Obviously the fish is the head. But in the background, there's an elephant on stilts. I don't really know what's going on there.
Yeah.
It's an amazing painting, but you know, is it purple?
It's not purple. Thank you for that call, though. Join us next time.
Things still not going great for Ricky Stevenson there, sadly enough. But if you want to get involved and if you think that you know what colour the stone is, do tweet in hashtag WhatColourStone.
Yes, that's what they should do. We're now going to join Mr. Rob Tinlow in Madrid to find out what's happening at the annual tea-making championship.
Welcome back to the 25th annual tea-making championships as we're literally seconds away from the start of this year's final. The four finalists have each taken their places. And that's it, they've started. With each now filling up their respective kettles, except Rocky who can't seem to find a tap. Or his kettle. I don't think I'll ever understand why he wears that blindfold. This is a tricky moment for all the contestants, however, because if you overfill, it's going to take much longer to boil. But if you underfill, you won't have enough water for your cup. So this is a real balancing act, as you can imagine. And now all the kettles are filled and they're just boiling now. Obviously, this bit... takes a while, this bit. I mean, they are faster than usual kettles, but you know, still, it takes a bit. I mean, they should really get their milk out and put the tea bag in the cup when it's boiled. I don't really know why they don't do that. Ah, yes, and Akers has finished boiling first, followed by Marky. And the beverage boys in quick succession, with Rocky lagging just slightly behind. All of which, of course, is largely irrelevant, as this is not a race and it's just judged on purely on the quality. Yeah, the quality. It's quite a good little pun, actually. I must tell Akers about that after the comp.
Oh, and a spillage mistake there from Akers, actually. But there'll be time to make up for that a little bit later. As people say, it is a game of two halves, which of course isn't actually true, because it is just making tea. All the lads are putting their tea in the mugs now. Both Marky and Matt have gone for Tetley's tea bags, which is their respective sponsor. Keith, however, has gone for Twinings, having recently been dropped by PG Tips. I imagine they're kicking themselves about that now. Rocky, however, is using a loose tea from Taylors of Harrogate. It's a blend, which he's just putting in his strainer. And as he's pre-lactarian, of course, he's putting in his milk now. And now his strainer goes in, the water, and everyone else is at approximately the same point. Okay, Badbury's just adding a splash of milk to his brew now. I believe he's using semi-skimmed there, probably a hangover from his coffee days, but we'll see how that works out for him. Meanwhile, Taylor is just adding a sweetener to his cup of char, and I have to say that Keith Ackley is staring daggers at him. I mean, if looks could kill, this would really be one of them. Although there are rumours that his wife ran off with the CEO of a well-known artificial sweetener company, so I suppose you can sort of understand that. And now they're all onto the final stage of stirring. Matt having a bit of a hard time as he's opted to use a standard issue teaspoon, but with a thermos mug, which is rather deeper than his spoon is designed for. And hang on, I can't believe it. Rocky Horace is using a ladle. A great big ladle. This is why he is the maverick, and this is what makes this such a great sport. It's the characters. It really is. Now it looks like they're all drawing to a close. Rocky's just finished, followed by Matt Badbury. Followed by Marky Taylor and Keith Ackley just bringing up the rear then. What excitement. What a joy. Join me shortly as the judges announce the winner and the medals are handed out.
Hello and welcome to Review Review, the show where we review the reviews of reviews. Now let's get right to it.
Let's get reviewing.
Oh my goodness.
What's up first in the review?
Well, first up on the reviews, let me tell you something. It's the Mark Commode radio show.
Also
known as the film review program on Channel 5 Live. Now you experience this show a lot. What's your thought about it?
I mean, my reviews on it are that it does not go in depth enough into the reviews that it is reviewing, which I find to be a little bit annoying.
It rarely reviews the reviews that he's creating himself.
No, and that's why we are here to do that.
Exactly. Of course, we can't talk about the Mark Commode review without talking about the review in The Guardian of the Mark Commode review show. Yes. Can we?
We cannot.
No. I read this article a couple of times. I felt that although he did talk a lot about the reviewing in the show, he spent much more time on the community around the reviewing.
Yes, I agree.
And that, although that's great, you know, they've got the whole Hello Jason Isaacs, they've got all their kind of their, it's not about reviews.
No,
simply not on enough.
I don't think
show
the
about
review
reviewing
got
the review
to the heart of the matter. And for that reason, I'm going to give the review 2 stars. It's a
two-star review. Whereas the Commode show is at least 3 or 4.
Yeah, 4 on a good day, 3 on a bad day.
Now, of course, we have a review that we've all been anticipating, we've all been waiting for, haven't we? It is, of course, our review of the review of the Guardian article reviewing the Mark Commode review show. Yes. And I think we've done very well. I think we've kept on topic about the review.
Yeah.
We've definitely spoken in great depth about it.
Yep.
We definitely are the best reviewers.
I think we should have a 5-star review.
A 5-star review?
Yep.
5-star review for you?
It's official.
It's official,
it's official,
ladies and gentlemen.
It's official. We are.
We are a 5-star. Well done.
Show.
We are a 5-star show.
The flagship show.
Wow. What an amazing thing.
It's just an honour. It's an honour to be working with you, sir.
An absolute honour. Oh my goodness.
Very hard there. But there's going to be more of the review.
More reviewing reviews.
Next week. We have commentary from the Parker Car competition. So now let's head over to our correspondent in Bletchley Park to find out more.
Welcome to Parker Car. We're here on this bright sunny day in Bletchley Park, and we are going to be going through some of the simple rules of Parker Car. The rules are very simple. Each player must park a car in a car park whilst in a parker. Every player picks up and places a puck in the car park and must control the cars in park to pick up the puck. They must also catch a carp and keep the puck they picked up in a cup. The carp is to be kept in the cup holder and the cup is to be kept in the glove compartment. Positions are chosen by picking a card in the dark while being pricked and poked by the official Carl Parker. The winner of Parker Car will be the last Carl Parker with the least carp and most puck in pole places with a score under par. Like golf. Join us next week at Bletchley Park, where the preparations for the Parker Car are already taking place. The players are picking the cards, their carps, their cars and their parkers for next week's car parking Parkerpalooza. I'm now going to read you the rules again, except very fast. Each player must park a car in the car park whilst in a parker. Every player picks up and places a puck in the car park and must control cars in park to pick up the puck. They must also catch a carp and keep the puck they picked up in a cup. The carp is to be kept in the cup holder and the cup is to be placed in the glove compartment. Positions are chosen by picking a card in the dark while being picked and poked by the official Carl Parker. The winner of Parker Car will be the last car parker with the least carp and the most carp in the pole places with a score under par. Like golf. Join us next week at Bletchley Park, where preparations for Parker Car are already taking place. The players are picking their cards, their carps, the cars and the parkers for next week's car parking Parkerpalooza. We'll now read you the rules with only the funny bits kept in. Player park a car in the car park. Parker. Player places a puck in the car park. Control cars. Park to pick up the puck. Catch a car. Keep puck picked up. Cup. Car kept cup holder in the cup. Glove compartment. Picking a car. Dog. Pick poke. Carl Parker. Parker car. Car park. Car cup in the pole par. Golf. Park. Prep parking place. The player pick a car. Cup. Cars. Parkers. Car parking Parkerpalooza.
And more of that next week. Tune in to find out what happens in Parker Car. You are listening to Burst Radio, and this is Silly Things Done Well. We now head over to our very own Stuart Hogworth for Into View.
Welcome to Into View, the show where I, Stuart Hogworth, interview an expert in their field in an effort to bring their subject into view. This week I'll be talking to Felicity Snell. Is that Snell or
yes,
Schnell?
Yes, hello. Nice to see you. Felicity Snell.
Felicity Snell is a renowned... what does that say?
Cryptozoologist.
Cryptozoologist?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
What's that?
Oh, well, funny you should ask. It's research into animals not yet formally sighted.
John, what?
There's a problem.
Who's this? What? Where is he?
A bit confused right now.
Well, he couldn't make it. Well, why are we telling him this now? Well, we're stuck with it, are we? Off. Right, go on. What's cryptozoology then?
Oh, well, cryptozoology is research into animals that have not yet been formally sighted.
Like what?
There's no physical evidence yet they exist, but obviously there's a vast quantity of research that
research into animals that don't, there's no evidence they exist.
Yeah, well, there's been sightings, Stuart, but yes, not been formally.
What are you talking like? Physically. Dragons and.
Yes, dragons, yes, and...
really?
And the
really?
Loch Ness
Sorry,
Monster.
John, you're not winding me up, are you? Is this a wind-up?
Bigfoot, otherwise known
Bigfoot.
As Swasgosh. Yes, yes. The cryptid ape. Yeah, that's right. Mermaids.
Why do you do
all
that?
All mermen. we're not sexist at all. Yes. So I've been doing research for about 25 years.
You've been
years.
Doing research. Sorry, do you have qualifications in this?
Oh yes, I'm a doctor, Dr. Felicity Snell. That's me.
You're a doctor of finding stuff that doesn't exist.
Well, cryptozoologist. It's a very serious.
You got a degree in this then?
Actually, I did my degree in natural sciences, but I did a master's and I went on to do a PhD. Yes.
Right, where did you do that?
A well-known university in Oxford. Yes.
Right. Presumably we're not talking about Oxford University. We're not talking about that, are we?
No.
Right. Was it even Oxford Brookes?
Well, actually it was in Berkshire. Berkshire, formerly the Polytechnic Technic there.
Right. What's your favourite animal that doesn't exist then?
Well, I've been privileged enough to go on quite a few sightings in parts of North America and Canada.
What do you mean, quite a few sightings? There's nothing to see. They don't exist.
Well, part of my research involves people contacting me to say they've had seen a sighting, or there's been a sighting of a, say, creature.
Right.
And it involves me doing... expeditions to go to those locations and to verify if in fact there has been a discovery.
How are they funded?
Private funding and partly government, although that is decreasing.
Government, there are people The government is giving money to this. We, the taxpayer, are paying for you to go jollying off to try and find Bigfoot and I don't...
Well, you know...
Is that what you're telling me?
Well, yes. Yes, I mean, I'm a bit
outrageous.
Miffed to
not only have I been
what's going
scammed
on here,
to interview
bit,
you, but I'm also losing money hand over fist for it. I can't believe it. Do you know what, right? Last week, right, I had a brain surgeon in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I could ask him questions about
my,
stuff.
My second cousin removed is a very good brain surgeon, actually, yes.
Why are you telling me that?
Well, I just thought that might be interesting for the viewers.
Well, it's not, is it?
Viewers might find that interesting.
No, I had a brain surgeon in, and I could actually ask him stuff about... next week, we got a physicist. This week, we were supposed to have an economist. Apparently, he's stuck in traffic on the way to see his wife, who's in labour. So he couldn't make it. So presumably what...
Is that why I just got called an hour ago?
Presumably you were hanging around outside the building and they dragged you in?
I need to speak to the producer about this. I feel like I'm being attacked here. I'm feeling...
Well, you are
upset.
Being attacked because you study a pointless thing and this is a complete waste of time. Right.
I really don't know what to say.
I'm Stuart Hogworth, for goodness sake. I've interviewed scientists,
I am Dr.
great thinkers,
Doctor,
you know, captains
can I have
of industry,
you know,
leaders of men.
Dr. Felicity Snell.
Right, I see that you've got a list there of creatures that don't exist. No, you've got a list of creatures that don't exist. I've got a list here
of
professions that shouldn't exist, chief among which is cryptozoology. Thank you very much, Felicity Snell. Back to you in the studio.
Thank you very much. And coming up now, we've got Ricky Stevenson, again with your What Colour Stone Am I Holding?
Hello there and welcome back to the third instalment of What Colour Is the Object I'm Holding? I'm going to take a few more calls and hopefully someone will get it right. Hello there.
I was on holiday.
Right, haven't you called in before?
A few years ago.
Right, okay.
And we went on a... we're in Africa.
Right.
Near the Zambezi.
Okay.
You know, with the falls and all that. And we were doing a kayaking trip down the river. And there'd been lots of rain recently, so the hippos were acting in an odd way. That's what the guide said, they were acting in an odd way.
Okay.
And as we were kind of kayaking down the river, one of the hippos sort of appeared in the river, like, a little bit in front of us.
What's the colour?
And it started yawning at us, which we later learned from the guide is actually a sign of aggression.
Okay.
So we're actually in quite a lot of danger. But as its mouth yawned open...
Yeah.
And I saw into the abyss that was this incredible
hippo
mammal's maw.
Can you not guess the...
It was kind of this pinky, fleshy colour. And I thought, that'd be an interesting colour for a stone.
Oh, fuck.
And so, you know, is it that?
Of course it's not that. Of course it's not that. That's not even a colour. That's a... Right, forget it. We're not doing this. No, I'm not doing it again. Turn the music off. Get it off, right? Okay. I'm not doing this again because every week I do this and people ring in with the stupid answers and it's like, I'm not doing it. No, forget it. Leave it. I'm off. See you later. I'm going.
There was Ricky Stevenson just I think he's gone.
Yeah.
Is he gone?
I don't know if we'll be seeing him
again. I mean, I would, you know, usually I say more of that next week, but I don't know if he'll...
I think that might be the last installment.
Could be.
But. Back.
But on the plus side... It's back to Kaplunk.
No, before we go back to Kaplunk.
Oh, really?
I want to tell the listeners that they can get involved in the game What Colour Stone Am I Holding?
Mm.
Even though Ricky revealed that it was, in fact, grey, right? Which really makes this game irrelevant now.
Yeah, you can still tweet in.
You can still get involved.
You can still tweet in.
Tweet in.
Tweet in. But just to clarify, if you want to get it right, the answer is grey.
Yeah.
So if you tweet in grey,
you're right.
You'll be right.
Yeah. Do they win anything?
So do that. Well, do they?
I'm asking you.
Should we leave that as a surprise?
Hey, they could win Kaplunk.
Let's have that as a surprise. Tweet in.
Oh, no, they could win Snakes and Ladders. We have a Snakes and Ladders board game we can give away.
Do we?
Yeah, we'll give that away to the highest bidder, maybe.
No, I don't think so. I'd quite like to keep hold of that.
Okay, we're not going to give
that
away.
Let's just say that...
If you get it right...
If you get it right...
Well done.
We're not saying that there definitely isn't a prize.
Right.
But we're saying that... There almost definitely isn't.
There almost certainly isn't a prize.
Yeah, but
well, there might be.
But we've dangled a little bit of carrot. So maybe there is.
And to get involved, you should tweet in with the hashtag
What colour stone. But it is grey.
It's grey.
It is grey.
And we are Burst Radio, at Burst Radio, yeah, to get involved. But Tom, back to Kaplunk.
Back to Kaplunk. There's been some...
There's been a massive development in Kaplunk.
Basically, you've got loads of balls.
Yeah.
I've got less.
Yes.
And one of mine's the yellow one as well. I've only got... So it makes it one, two, three, four, five, six, seven,
and
eight.
Counting
makes
balls,
it though. 1-8.
Really?
Yeah.
And there's only... Tom,
which means there's only three left, so I have one. But for the sake of completionism...
Is that a word?
Yeah.
Completionism?
Should we carry on?
Yeah.
Right, I'll go.
Right, is it your go then?
Yeah.
Okay, Tom's just pulling out the blue stick there. I reckon the ball's going to fall. I reckon the ball's going to fall.
Yeah.
I reckon.
But
it,
but those two won't.
I reckon it's going to fall.
Let's see if we can just shift it up.
He's scooping it up and he's pushing it. That's surely illegal.
That was the sound of the ball. So I'm now on two.
And it's annoying because there's two sticks left, right, which are holding up two. So when I pull one out, obviously
they're both going to go.
Shall I see if I can do it?
There's no way. Unless you can get them back to balance on one stick.
There goes one. There goes,
and there goes the other. So the ending scores are two to loads.
Two to loads there. So great game of Kaplunk, though.
Great game of Kaplunk. Another great game is making tea.
Yes,
is it not?
So it is. We're going to join Rob Tinlow in Madrid to find out what happened after the tea-making competition finished.
Well, what a day it's been here in Madrid. Real drama and excitement that's been befitting of the 25th year of this competition. Well, the judges are back in with their results, and it seems that in fourth place, it's Rocky the Dragon Horace. They're saying his tea was actually poorly constructed and tasted like dishwater. And the ladle didn't help. He will be disappointed, bitterly disappointed with that. And there he is, being handed the Slumgullion Award for fourth place. What a shame. Very sad. Very sad. But in third place, it seems that has gone to Matt Badbury there. They're saying that they like the strength of his tea. Good balance of milk and sugar. But apparently the spoon... Oh, no. Apparently the spoon he'd used had already been used to stir coffee, corrupting the flavour. Seems like Badders isn't quite ready to let go of his coffee days just yet. What a great shame. Second place, it seems, has gone to... It's gone to Ackers for his light yet profoundly interesting brew. Not sure what they mean by that, but there you go. And Acker's there, just having a bit of a laugh with the judges, as is his way, as he picks up his medal there. Which means that, of course... Oh, hang on. Oh, there's a turn up for the book. Someone's just run up to the judges' table. It appears he's having a quiet word with the chief judge. And oh my goodness. Well, I'd never have guessed it. Bling. Right, it seems that Mr. Taylor's kettle test has come back positive for tea doping. For those unfamiliar with this practice, it's when contestants actually put some tea leaves loose in the kettle so they get extra brewing time while it boils. And is completely illegal in the sport, completely illegal, which means that Taylor is disqualified and the gold now goes to Keith Ackley. What an upset, what a shock. I can't believe it. You heard it here first. Keith Ackley, de facto gold medalist at the 25th annual Tea Making Championships. Thank you and good night.
Keith Ackley there, taking the biscuit home at the 2015 annual Tea Making Competition. Thank you, Rob Tinlow. Hopefully we'll be back next year.
Is that what they win? If you win it, you get a biscuit.
You win a box of biscuits.
Really? Yeah. That's appropriate because it's tea, isn't it?
Hopefully we can hear more of that next year.
Yeah.
At the 16th annual...
No, that was the 25th.
Oh, sorry, was it?
Who taught you to count?
Oh, 2015 is the year.
Yeah.
We're in. Which is the Burst 15-year anniversary, let me just add. You are listening to Silly Things Done Well.
Yeah.
Me and Tom are joined in the studio by a very special guest, Mr. Tyler T. Tyler T's come back. T, what did you think of the tea-making competition?
I thought it was amazing. Yeah, it was just really nice that they were just giving credit to like my family name throughout it, really. And, I mean, we pretty much like invented tea. And you know, it's a little-known fact, really. We're sort of modest about it. And, so it was quite nice to just get that recognition after all these years.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah. I mean, it must be a lot of years because tea goes back a, like,
you know, into the middle
age. So do we. I mean, yeah, exactly. Like my dad's middle age now, and so he goes back. He goes back there. Yeah,
and he did.
Isn't Chief T from China though? That isn't. Or is your family?
No, actually, it's
a common misconception.
No, it's actually from a leaf. You put it into the china. We use ceramics, really, to be quite honest, because things break, and you know there's a lot of fracking going on in Kurrama at the moment, so you just can't be.
There is. It's
not
too much fracking.
Far much fracking stuff going on.
Are you allowed to say fracking?
Are you allowed to say what, sorry?
Fracking.
Of course you are.
Right, okay.
Fracking?
No, it's just a controversial point at the moment.
Well, I mean, we're wrapping up the show. We've had a nice game of Kaplunk, which I sort of unfairly lost, I'd say. We would take this into the realm of snakes and ladders.
Yeah. I noticed that this board doesn't have what I like to what I knew as the death snake.
Yes.
Which hung around
Look at him.
Yeah, no, but he's not as bad as the death snake was.
There's one snake
death
that snake goes from place 63 to place
63
19.
63 down to 19.
Yeah, but death snake hung out around 96, 97, I think, and went down to like 20 something.
Yeah. That's nice.
That was mental.
What surprises me is that there's a ladder on place one, which goes up to 43.
Yeah, that's sort of a little bit useless, isn't it?
So you must start off the board.
So do we just start?
Yeah. I think start on zero.
Start on zero. How many rounds of this do you think we can have before it gets tedious?
Let's see. Let's experiment.
Let's find out. What colour would you like to be, Tom?
I'm blue.
I'm
always blue. Yeah.
Tyler, what colour would you like to be?
Green.
Green. Yeah. I'm going to take red then.
Okay.
And I'm going to go first. So this is the sound of me rolling a dice.
I got a five,
by the way, listener. I got a five. I'm going to move five.
Two, five.
One, two,
good
three,
idea.
Four, five.
So he's moving forwards on the five there. Fantastic play. Landing on a blank white square there, which has amazing significance for people who believe in horoscopes.
Yeah.
Right, that's true.
Who's going it now? Shall I go? Right, I'll roll.
You roll.
Three.
What colour were you again?
Blue.
Blue?
Yeah.
One, two, and a three. Tyler, do you want to?
Right, okay. Roll this by the power of Gilgamesh. Two. Right. Oh, you see him falling behind.
Very good.
Gilgamesh has failed.
I think we've got one more game left, one more roll left. Quickly, I've got a five. It puts me up to 10. Quickly, Tom, you go.
Well, I can't win, can I?
Four. Quickly, Tyler.
Let's
go.
Four. Right. Brings me up to six.
Right. Tom, I think that's the show over.
I think it is.
Tom.
It's time to give thanks to lots of people.
Right.
All kinds of people.
I mean, another go? No, I think it's getting tedious.
You won at 10.
I won. Tyler, thank you very much for joining us again.
It's quite all right.
It's good to.
It's nice to learn.
You're paying my expenses, aren't you?
What? No.
For God's sake!
Oh, Tyler's just stormed out of the studio there. Yeah. He's not happy.
Yeah. And I know for a fact at the moment he's living in Glasgow, so it's quite
far.
It's quite expensive to get back.
If he came back on his own back then, and he thinks we're giving him the money, he might run into Ricky Stevenson outside though, because he shot off, didn't he?
He did shoot off.
Because he's not in here anymore. But Tom, this has been Silly Things Done Well.
It has.
And this is kicking off the exchange series on Burst.
Yeah.
Of which next week we have the Music Exchange, which
I'm
going to
tell me a bit about that. What's that all about?
It's a show that I'm going to be hosting, Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Where I explore.
That is reason enough to tune in on its own.
Thank you very much. Yeah. It's where I explore the plethora
of
music that there is in the Southwest region.
Right.
Hopefully I'm going to have a guest playing a session.
Oh, that's nice.
I can't reveal who it is, but it's top secret.
Right.
Great guest.
Right.
I'm going to have some nice archive.
Sting?
No.
Okay, it's not Sting.
I tried getting him, but
he's busy.
He's busy. After that, we have the cultural exchange.
Oh yeah, what's that?
With our very own Lindsay, who couldn't be here today.
It's a shame.
She's graduating from a master's.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Lindsay.
Rival university.
Don't mention it.
Yeah.
Don't mention it. Sting wasn't bothered.
Right.
I offered him 50 quid.
Yeah.
He said no.
Yeah.
So after that.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah. What's that?
With the archive.
Yeah. What is that?
Archive exchange. Yeah. Sorry?
What is that?
It's your program. Do you want to explain
what? Well, shall I say it then?
Yeah.
It's basically a look through some of the archive stuff that Burst's done.
It's the 15th year of Burst.
As it's the 15th year of Burst. A discussion about those things. Kind of listening to some of the areas that will be not so heavily played in the other exchanges. So I won't be looking at the music features or really the drama features. More some more experimental stuff, maybe some poetry. Even
from the archive. So yeah, there'll be some interesting stuff going on then. You'll want to be tuning into that.
You will. I wouldn't, but.
But you could.
Some people can.
Yeah.
Personally, I wouldn't tune into that. No, I'm
you
course.
Will.
I'm
you
only
will.
Joking. I'll be tuning in. The one after that is the Drama Exchange.
Yeah.
With our very own Oliver Morris. What is going to be happening there, Tom? Do you want to just give us a brief rundown of that?
There will be some drama. There will be, I mean, all of them are using a bit of stuff from the archive.
Yeah.
So there'll be a bit of archive.
I'm just going to be cutting into archive them there. I'm going to be doing stuff. A play by Alberto Olivieri.
Also be a little play,
I'm going to be doing some work with live stuff. Yeah. Such as a live reading and also live some more reading. Experimental pieces that we'll be doing. An interview about interviews, for example. I'm going to put them back. I don't think they've actually noticed I tuned in at all.
But there you go.
Tom, he was actually speaking over us then. That whole time that you were speaking, he was actually speaking. He turned our mics off.
Was he actually?
Yeah.
That's rude, isn't it?
I saw you try. You were struggling to keep up with what he was saying, but he actually said all that himself.
Yeah. But anyway, do you want to wrap up and do the...
Yeah, I mean, that brings us to the end of Silly Things Done Well. Today's programme was written and produced by Oliver Morris, Michael Dale and Tom Harrison. The Blasted Crotch feature was devised, written and produced by the beautiful Joshua Ward.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I'm going to say. Okay. Who also says a massive thanks to the cast, which involved Liz Green, Kate Staunton, Hannah Adams, Richard Alexander and Ben Simmons. Thank you very much for listening. You're great.
Silly Things Done Well was part of Burst's Exchange series. It was devised by Michael Dale, Tom Harrison and Oliver Morris. Additional voices were provided by Isaac Williams, Bupra Barker and Joshua Ward. Additional material was provided by the cast and it was a burst.co.uk production.